Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth. And I'd like to ask you, when was the last time you've spoken with the dead? Well, you can. It's amazing. I have. Our guest has. A lot of people have. And you might wonder if it's even possible. Well, we're going to talk about that. Hopefully assure you that this can happen. And not only can it happen, but it's extremely important to be able to do so and to understand how life works after life. So we're not so worried. Not that we want to die, but it happens. And now we know a lot about what can happen after. So to help us know more about it, there's a book called Love Never Dies. It's a wonderful book. You really need to enjoy reading it like I have, because it really helps you appreciate what's possible. And to help us know that is the author of Love Never Dies, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And Jamie has had her own personal experiences with life after death, not her own, but others, and also how love never dies, it's how much this actually helps us love better. And so Jamie has also developed a career as a therapist, and she's known nationally, maybe worldwide, as Dr. Love. So all this works together and makes our life better. Right, Jamie?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. It's really wonderful to talk with people who have become awakened by their tragedies.
That's a nice way of putting it. Right. What doesn't kill you awakens you.
Or maybe it does both.
Yeah, it kills you and it awakens you. You die, right, and you're born again into a new awareness. Yeah.
Right. Even while you're still here, let alone dying and getting to the other side and being awake again.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell a little bit about my story for your listeners who haven't yet read Love Never Dies?
Yes, it's a tragic story. And many of us have been through similar tragedies of losing loved ones and then somehow recovering from that. So let's talk.
Yeah, I'll give you, for everybody listening, I'll just give you a little brief synopsis of my story and then how Love Never Dies came about. So first of all, I have to say that when I was a young girl, I had a detailed premonition of the guy I was going to marry. I actually saw his face, I saw his body, and I saw everything. So I just said to myself, I'm going to wait until he appears. And he appeared on the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College. I'd been shut out of all intro sociology classes, and I really wanted to take sociology. So the secretary said, go ask the department chair, Jean Pin, and see if he can find a seat for you in one of the closed classes. Well, the minute I stepped into Jean's office, I had the first and only out-of-body experience of my life. I literally felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life, and then when I shot back into my body, I received the message, remember every aspect of this meeting, he's going to be everything to you one day. And then I forgot all about it.
Excuse me, but it might not have occurred to you how that could work because he was so much older. He was a professor in college, and you were a new freshman.
It was just an experience. It just happened, and that was it. But 4 years later, well, I should also add, because this is important for understanding our story, I found out soon after meeting Jean that he had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests in history. For most of his life, he had taught at the Vatican. And he founded a movement called Liberation Theology designed to fight church oppression from within. And he actually launched to international fame when he publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church as they were trying to block the legalization of divorce in Italy. And he was a radical feminist Jesuit priest. He didn't want to see women trapped in marriages where they were being abused, so he fought on the grounds of liberation theology, separation of church and state. The church should butt out of the private sector. He won, got the divorce bill passed, changed the course of Italian history, and soon after, the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows so he wasn't excommunicated, and then he left the Jesuit order in the priesthood and was recruited by Vassar. And he had served there for 10 years. On the day that I met him, it was about 10 years later. Now, I have to also say, my background, besides the different age and religion and so on, I was raised by two devoutly atheist parents. The only religion my parents practiced was religiously hating each other's guts. Okay. They taught me not to believe in God or the afterlife. Okay. So,
and they weren't very kind to you either.
Oh, that's a... Yes, I talk all about that. It was a very abusive childhood. So in my senior year, 4 years after I met Jean, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis. And even though he wasn't my advisor, I asked him if he would help me because I had heard that, among other things, Jean had founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So I knew he was a statistician as well. So he helped me with my statistics, and within a couple of weeks, we knew. Despite our different ages, our generational difference, cultural background, different religions, we were perfect for each other. We were twins separated at birth. We were just soulmates. So for 27 years, we just rejoiced in our life together. In the last year of his bodily life, we started having a premonition he was going to die of an accident. We just didn't know when or where. We go to Italy on our summer vacation, and while we're sitting on the beach, his hand was up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun. The next thing I know, a bee swooped down and stung his left hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata. And I watched my beloved suffocate in front of my eyes. Now, I can't even describe the trauma. I mean, I describe it in Love Never Dies. It was so horrendous having him ripped from me in this way. I go back to my hotel room. I'm collapsed on the bed, shaking, trembling, crying. I'm hysterical. And the next thing I know, I feel that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. I sit bolt upright. I look over my shoulder. I don't see anything, but I knew it was him. And he has been with me ever since that moment. His astonishing manifestations to this day in front of witnesses have proven to me we don't die. And therefore, our relationships are not meant to end in death. And so as a result, I've created what I call my transdimensional grief therapy method. It totally diverges from the Western approach to grief, which is grieve, let go, move on. Do it in 6 months or else we're going to give you a psychiatric label and drugs. I instead show the bereaved how to reconnect, how to say hello, not goodbye. And then there's one more thing. As a shrink, I also know that Western grief therapy gives us no way of working out unfinished business with those who have died. And I also know that millions of people harbor unfinished business with those in spirit. So Love Never Dies shows you not only how to reconnect, but also how to make peace with the deceased.
This is so important.
Yes.
And also, it's fascinating, your story, because it's almost as if it was scripted from the beginning.
Yes.
For him to be this advanced,
yes,
soul, even here in this lifetime that he had, and to meet you, who because of other things in your childhood, premature,
yes,
and having high fevers through your childhood, you,
right,
were able to have a spiritual opportunity that not every child gets.
Right.
And therefore, the two of you were destined. That bee showed up as he had to. And you know, because,
yep,
you're,
yep,
also a very clear animal communicator.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stories in the book that are fascinating about your abilities to not only talk with animals, but to have them respond to you in ways,
yes,
that are clear.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, you know, in part two of Love Never Dies, I demystify what we're talking about here in energetic communication. Because, yes, I had fevers. Yes, I was born very early. Yes, I was naturally open, which was part of my soul pact with Jean, so that he could come through to me and tell our story and let the world know we don't die. But what I do also say is that we're all born with the innate ability to energetically communicate. We do it every day as a matter of course. You know, when you're stopped at a light and you look over at a driver in the neighboring car, doesn't the driver always look back at you because he senses the energetic frequency of your gaze? Twins know when the other's in trouble, even when they're on opposite ends of the world. Close couples know. A mother knows when a baby's in trouble. It's energy and energy transmission, sending and receiving energetic signals. So what I explain here in part two and part three of Love Never Dies is that basically we are all born with the innate ability, and all I show you how to do is tune to what I call the spirit channel in your brain so that you can send and receive energetic signals to and from those in spirit. And it's really the same as the energetic communication we're doing on the earth plane. We're just now bringing it to those in spirit.
Right. Well,
yeah.
I understand that because I also can speak with spirit. And usually, though, you're never sure who's actually doing the talking. Well, you can with Jean because he has a French accent, for one thing.
That's a whole other story.
Right.
I have to tell you, this story is so crazy. I'm going to tell you this because it fits so perfectly. Well, in part one of Love Never Dies, I tell a lot of the stories about Jean's manifestations, right?
Yes.
And one of the stories involved the telephone, okay? And his French accent comes in here. So he started one day, I was very, very upset, and I was crying, and I explained why, and I'm thinking I have to call my friend Anne, and I'm thinking, oh, no, don't bother her, she's working, and I'm hemming and hawing like this on the floor of my closet when about 20 minutes later, my phone rings. I jump up, I run to get the phone, and Anne says, did you call? I said, no, Anne, I was thinking I had to talk to you, but I couldn't get up off the floor. She said, but Jamie, my phone rang, and your name and number appeared on the caller ID. So we were flabbergasted. We realized that Shell manipulated her caller ID so that she would know I needed to talk to her when I was thinking I've got to talk to her. So a year later, I have a really bad chest cough. I think I'm going to suffocate to death. And I say, Shell, do that caller ID phone trick. Do it now and do it with my housekeeper, Donna. Let me know you're here with me. 2 seconds later, the phone rings. It's Donna. She says, did you call? I said, no, Donna. She said, but Jamie, my phone rang, and your name and number appeared on the caller ID. So now I go to my writer's group, and it's headed up by a guy named Gabe Davis, who's a devout Jewish atheist. And he says, you know, I'd like to see that caller ID phone trick repeated. And this time, I would like to see whether your phone call log shows a record of having been manipulated to dial out even if you didn't use the phone. So I forget the challenge. A month later, I'm driving behind Gabe and his wife, Robin, to meet them for dinner. All of a sudden, I feel this tidal wave of love pour into me, which I had come to associate with Jean's manifestations, because often he'll give me that feeling before he does something. So I look at the clock on the car dashboard, 4:58. I get to the restaurant. I come out of the car, and Gabe stampedes me. He says, Jamie, you won't believe what happened. What happened? He says, 4:58, my cell phone rang. He said, I looked at the caller ID. Your name and number appeared. I picked up the phone, he said, and a man's voice said, is Jamie there? Is Jamie there? He said the voice had a French accent. And prolonged the syllable there, which Jean had a French accent, and he prolonged the syllable there. He said it wasn't a real call. The voice just faded away. He said, go get your phone and see if it dialed me. So I dig into my purse. I hadn't used it since, you know, the day before. Sure enough, 4:58, my phone was used to dial Gabe.
And then there were other situations with a massage therapist who all of a sudden went into a trance that he didn't even realize and was speaking to you in John's words.
Yeah. Yeah, what we're talking about here, and what I explain is that our loved ones in spirit, so now we're really getting into what is part three of Love Never Dies, because in part three, I show you how to establish a dialogue with your loved ones in spirit and all the ways that we can dialogue back and forth with them. One of the ways that our loved ones in spirit will speak with us is through what I call open vessels. That is animals who are naturally open, both domestic and wild, and humans who are open. So in the case of the massage therapist, he was a very open vessel, so Jean could speak to me through him. And I show you how our loved ones do this. And the most important thing to remember about the dialoguing is, now, obviously, the way we're used to those in spirit speaking or dialoguing with us are passive ways, like they might step into a dream, right? Or they might induce a thought or meld with our minds and put a thought in our minds. But there are also ways for us to engage in an active back and forth dialogue, if this makes sense. And what we do is, when we're doing these dialogues back and forth, I show you how to enlist the aid of open vessels and even earthly props to engage in a back and forth conversation. Do you want me to give you an example?
Sure.
Okay. Well, okay, here's a good example of how a loved one will speak to us by dropping a sign on us versus how they bring signs to life and dialogue back and forth with us using open vessels and earthly props, usually electronic devices. So it was this past year, and it was the anniversary of Jean's bodily departure. I go to the chiropractor's office, and I'm alone in the office, and Teresa's at the desk. I say, this is the anniversary week of Jean's bodily departure, and he's been dropping a lot of signs on me. Again, they're static. They just get dropped on you out of nowhere. At that moment, I smell gardenias. I do not say a word. She looks at me, and she says, Jamie, do you smell gardenias? I said, oh, Teresa, that is fantastic. Jean is dropping a sign on both of us. It's called the scent of sanctity. Okay? That's a static sign. I didn't ask for it. We didn't dialogue about it. He just dropped it. Now I go home, and in my office is a patient named Regina, who desperately needs to reconnect and dialogue and work out unfinished business with her sister in spirit. Now, I tell her the story of the scent of sanctity that just happened, how Jean dropped that sign on us. At that moment, I hear Jean speaking to me, and he says, but I wish I could give you roses. Now, at that moment, my patient, Regina, jumped up off the couch, and she said, Jamie, do you smell roses? So in that example, you can see how he used my patient as an open vessel to dialogue back with me and say, you heard me right, I want to give you roses, and I perfumed her nostrils with the scent of roses to confirm you heard me. So we were dialoguing with the help of her as an open vessel.
It's
now, isn't that amazing? Now, here's another one, which is a really good example, again, of how it happens. And, you know, in part three of Love Never Dies, I show you all the ways to do this.
Right,
this one
right.
is so cool. It was this winter, and I had just done the Coast to Coast show. Love Never Dies became an overnight bestseller, and I get an email from a guy who said, since your appearance last night, your husband is burning up my brain with messages for you. So he's using this guy now as an open vessel.
Uh-huh.
So I get on the phone with the guy, and he starts saying things to me in French and Italian. And these are words and phrases that Jean used to say. So I knew it was Jean speaking through the guy to me. So the guy says to me, but Jamie, I'm a hillbilly. I don't know no Italian. So I say to him, dude, I believe your Italian accent really sucks. So now a week later, it's Valentine's Day, and the guy calls me back, and he says, I hope you're sitting down because what I'm going to tell you now is going to blow your mind. I said, what happened? He said, I was sitting with my hands on my lap this morning when your husband said to me, send Jamie the photo of the peach-colored rose. Now, nobody in the world knows this. Not only did he give me roses every week, but they were peach-colored. Uh-huh. So the guy says, with his hands in his lap, Jean manipulated his computer, opened up a photo of a peach-colored rose, and then opened up a caption. The name of the rose was called Peaches and Cream. Now, the night before, the guy had said to me, your husband says, your time is now, to which I had replied to the guy, my husband always told me the cream always rises to the top. So the photo was peaches and cream.
Wow.
So
it's amazing.
That's so beautiful, right?
Yeah. But you see, the thing is that, you know, as fascinating as this is about the way it manifests. And,
yeah.
and you know, it's a lesson to all of us, and it's so important for us to live this way, to live alive in this, with spirit. But there are also so many important lessons about life that you received from Jean. And one of the ways that he showed you about yourself and your self-love had to do with the way you lost weight. And
he healed me. But that's the most beautiful part of this. Okay, so what we're talking about here is we all need to reconnect with our loved ones in spirit. At the very least, if someone was ripped from you, has to happen. If you're a child who lost a parent, parent who lost a child, if you're elderly, you need to reconnect and stay connected. But what if you need to be healed? What if you have unfinished business with someone in spirit? Well, here's where Love Never Dies shows you how to dialogue to heal whatever you need to heal. And that could be your mind, your body, your spirit, or any unfinished crap with someone in spirit. So I show you how to dialogue back and forth, how to dialogue in writing, how to use a recorder. And the good news about this is, and this is so reassuring for people, often we have to wait until someone leaves his or her body in order to work it out. We usually were thinking, oh, if we're SOL, they left their bodies too late. It's the opposite, because when they leave their bodies, they now see how they messed up with us. And so they're able to help us in ways that they never could before. And so they also need to work it out with us for their own spiritual growth and progression. They're not in peace unless they know that they have helped us to heal ourselves, because they're really here to help us fulfill our spiritual destinies. So what you alluded to a second ago about how Jean helped me heal myself, I tell the story in Love Never Dies how I was, raised by very abusive parents. And they tore me down verbally. They tore me down physically. They beat me. And no matter how much success I had, there was always this voice in my head tearing me down. Even after I was with Jean for decades and he just filled me with so much love, there was still this part of me that didn't love myself the way I needed to. And after Jean left his body, I went to my professional group in the city, and I was crying and crying, and I said, oh, please, I need to get my parents' voices to stop tearing me down. And they all said the traditional shrink party line, well, just have our voices tell your parents to shut the F up and tell our voices to... None of this ever worked. It didn't work for me, never worked for my patients. So I come home, and I beg Jean to please help me with this. And he suddenly appears to me as the embodiment of love. He is surrounded in golden light. He takes my face in his hands. He turns me toward him in the light, and he says to me, Jamie, listen, listen, listen to me. Let my love for you fully enter you. And in that moment, I suddenly felt that man's soul energy penetrating every fiber of my being, and his love for me became my own self-love.
That's wonderful.
It is so beautiful. And the thing is, I realized he had to be out of his body for this to happen, because now he's freed from the vessel of his physical body so his soul can enter me unimpeded. And so ultimately, this is the message of Love Never Dies. When we allow our loved ones to reconnect with us and we let them enter every fiber of our being and fill our internal wells to overflowing, we now become an overflowing well of love that we can bring to the world, and that love never dies.
I have a friend whose mother tormented her terribly as a child.
Yes, yes.
Horrible stories of what her mother did to her.
Yes.
It was evil, and she said her mother couldn't be out there in heaven. Her mother's passed on and couldn't be out there in heaven because she was so evil.
Yeah.
It turns out that she's made contact with her mother, and her mother is doing everything she can to heal her daughter.
Absolutely
from
right. And I tell that over and over again. I have lots of examples in the book of my own dialogues with my patients, helping them with parents who have abused them physically, sexually, verbally. And the message is always the same. Please, I'm begging you to confront me. I'm begging you, because my growth requires it, and I'm not in peace until you work it out. And actually, every Tuesday at noon, I do the Love Never Dies show on Hay House Radio. People call in from all over the world, and I'm actually, for the first time in radio history, really, I'm doing dialoguing with the departed on air. People are calling with unfinished business from decades ago. And I put them into the meditation for making contact. We dialogue, and they are healed right there.
That's right wonderful. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. My father has been gone for 56 years, and he made contact with me right after he died through electronics. It was on TV,
and it was an amazing
experience to have that I knew my father had created that moment where it was clear that he was communicating with me. And then just recently, there was, you know, 50, that was a year ago, 55 years later, he showed up at my son's wedding. And
they're always
dancing.
Here.
He was,
you know, the other thing too is
my wife.
People say, "Oh, it's not happening for me," because they don't realize how to recognize all the signs of spirit presence. So people always say to me, "Oh, well, this is happening for you, but it's not happening for me." And then they read the book and they read Love Never Dies, and they say, "Oh, well, this happened and that happened and this happened." You're just so open, you see it. But so many miss the trail of signs that they're getting every day.
Right. Well, I'm a practicing intuitive, so
it's obvious.
I'm always seeking communication in the universe.
It's obvious you have that. Yes.
Well,
you've learned to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and you're such a facilitator for people. I'm so happy to talk with you because, you know, this is a great service that you're doing to open people to a world that they never knew existed before.
Yes, I know. It's so beautiful. And the thing that is so gratifying for me is to see people, to hear people when they call me or they come to one of my Love Never Dies retreats. I'm doing this now. I'm having retreats in my home, and people attend from all over the world virtually. And I bring Love Never Dies to life. I help them dialogue in person with me.
That's
and
wonderful.
I watch them with all this pain just dissipating and vaporizing
so
as
wonderful.
They reconnect. It's so beautiful. And for people, especially during the holidays, when people are so grieving over, oh, I miss my loved one.
Right.
When you reconnect, that grief
transforms
to joy. It's just gone.
Yeah,
you know, I had a patient who lost her friend bodily, and she was just super, are we done? Free
yeah,
gift.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
Gift.
How
free
can
gift.
People connect with you?
Come to the website, buy the book, free gift. You'll see, for your listeners.
Okay, Love Never Dies, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Jamie, well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you could talk with us today at Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.